RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcasts. Amy Egan speaking alongside my colleague Marilyn Quintana. What are we talking about today, Marilyn?
Recently, the European Parliament approved the first regulation on artificial intelligence, which establishes some requirements and obligations for AI platforms that operate in the European Union. Javier Ramos, electric and engineering professor and rector of the Rey Juan Carlos University of Madrid, told us about the key aspects included in the AI Act and the implications of its application.
By imposing common regulation across a single market of the 27 EU member states, you make sure that all this technical development does not harm our European values or our individuals within Europe.
On today's broadcast, we have help from sound technician Javier López and production help from Cristina Dorado. Before we get into the rest of the program, we bring you the news. Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez will be appealing to the Constitutional Court in order to stop an initiative to declare the independence of Catalonia. Although the proposal was brought up in February, the decision to appeal was announced after the approval of the amnesty law and only 7 weeks before the elections in Catalonia. Esther Piña, spokeswoman for the Socialist Party.
Fuimos claros, no nos gustó ni políticamente ni en ningún caso lo que surgió esa propuesta. Es verdad que además los propios letrados del Parlament han confirmado diferentes informes en contra.
We were clear, we did not like the proposal politically or in any way. The lawyers from the Catalan Parliament already released reports against it.
Back in February, the Catalan Parliament admitted the popular initiative, which asked the chamber to declare unilateral independence of the region. The proposal was brought up by Catalan Solidarity for Independence, a separatist electoral coalition in Catalonia, which also organized the Catalan independence referendum of 2009 and 2010.
After the admission of the initiative, the group had 120 days to collect 50,000 signatures before it was brought up for debate in the Catalan Parliament. The appeal from the socialists will arrive to Congress on Tuesday, and if successful, it will put the proposal on hold.
On Wednesday morning, the Spanish National Court backtracked after ordering the cautionary suspension of instant messaging service Telegram in the whole country.
The order was issued on Friday after a report from media companies Mediaset, Atresmedia and Movistar, which accused Telegram of hosting copyrighted content. The decision was put on hold as the judge requested a police report about the platform and the effects its suspension might have on its users. Some experts speak about censorship. Rafael López, security expert.
Se trata de una censura porque al final está primando más el interés de tres empresas privadas que el interés ciudadano y de otras, como hemos comentado, de otras tantas empresas que utilizan este servicio de manera lícita.
It's censorship because the interest of three private companies is prioritized before the interest of citizens and other companies which use the service legally.
Before issuing the order, the judge had requested a report from Telegram but got no response from the company. Borja Atsuara, consultant lawyer in digital law, considers the suspension would not work for the intended purpose.
Lo que ocurre es que la propia aplicación tiene también algunos trucos para burlar esos bloqueos. Y yo creo que, sinceramente, va a ser una medida bastante ineficaz.
What happens is that the application has some tricks to avoid those blockades, and I think it will be an ineffective measure.
The Barcelona court ordered the release of former Barcelona football club player Dani Alves. Mr. Alves has been in precautionary detention since January of 2023 and was recently condemned to 4 years of prison for the rape of a woman in a Barcelona nightclub in December of 2022.
After some difficulties gathering the money, Mr. Alves will be released after paying the 1 million euro bail and having his Brazilian and Spanish passports confiscated, as he is not allowed to leave the country. He will also have to show up for court every Friday and be available by phone.
The Barcelona district attorney brought an appeal against Mr. Alves's release, as they consider the reasons why he was put in precautionary detention are still applicable. And in international news, a terrorist attack at a concert hall in Moscow on Friday left over 100 people dead and almost 200 gravely injured. Islamic State militants claimed responsibility for the attack, but Vladimir Putin believes that Ukraine may be behind it.
The Russian president said that the arrested culprits, of which there are 11, including the four gunmen, were detained on the way to Ukraine and that therefore Kyiv is behind the attack. Seemingly in response, Russia has intensified its offensive against Ukraine.
And one of the large-scale attacks launched this weekend led to an air alert in Poland when a missile flew over its territory for over half a minute, one of the almost 30 missiles launched by the Kremlin heading towards Kyiv.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has thanked Spain for its support against the Russian invasion after speaking by phone with Pedro Sanchez and asking for more anti-aircraft defense.
Israel has told the four European countries that on Friday said they were taking the first steps towards recognizing Palestine as a state, Spain included, would constitute as a prize for terrorism.
On Friday, Spain announced that it had agreed with Ireland, Malta, and Slovenia to take first steps towards recognizing statehood declared by the Palestinians in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip. "Honestly, it's time," said the Spanish Prime Minister. "This is the moment we have to decide when to do it, when to contribute to a solution."
Honestamente, es el momento. Es el momento lo que tenemos que decidir. ¿Cuándo hacerlo? ¿Cuándo contribuimos como, con ello a una solución?
UN Chief Antonio Guterres said on a visit to Jordan that he saw a growing consensus emerging in the international community to tell the Israelis that a ceasefire is needed.
A great part of the international community also believe that an Israeli incursion into Rafah is a terrible idea. Even Israel's greatest ally, the United States, has spoken out against it. Vice President Kamala Harris in a televised interview.
"It would be a mistake to move into Rafah with any type of military operation."
"A mistake, but would there be consequences if he does move forward?"
"Well, we're going to take it one step at a time, but we've been very clear in terms of our perspective on whether or not that should happen."
"Are you ruling out that there would be consequences from the United States?"
"I am ruling out nothing."
In the south, Israeli forces besieged two hospitals in the city of Khan Yunis a week after entering Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, saying that hospitals are being used by Hamas as bases. Hamas and medical staff deny these accusations, and Palestinian medics said on Monday that the Israeli military killed dozens of people in these new attacks. In the north of the Gaza Strip, the Israeli army has been refusing entry to UNRWA's humanitarian aid. The agency's head, Philippe Lazzarini, has called this move outrageous. Quote, "By preventing UNRWA to fulfill its mandate in Gaza, the clock will tick faster towards famine and many more will die of hunger, dehydration and lack of shelter. This cannot happen. It would only strain our collective humanity."
According to Palestinian health officials, over 32,000 Palestinians have been killed and 74,500 injured in Israel's offensive in Gaza. Days ago, the European Parliament approved the European AI Act, the first regulation on artificial intelligence. This law is part of the EU digital strategy and aims to ensure better conditions for the development and use of this technology while protecting fundamental rights, democracy, the rule of law, and environmental sustainability. To tell us more about the use of AI, the threats and challenges it poses, and the new EU's Artificial Intelligence Act, we speak with Javier Ramos, electrical engineering professor and rector of the Rey Juan Carlos University of Madrid. Javier, thank you for joining us.
It is a pleasure. Thank you for having me in your broadcast station.
Well, the European AI Act, as we were saying, regulates the use and development of AI. Javier, why is it necessary to establish some sort of limits to artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I agree that it's quite important to regulate this new technology. AI is one of those general purpose technologies, and it will affect many, almost every aspect in our lives. Then having such an impact in our lives is critical to have clear limits and foster the usage of the AI in those fields where the risk is acceptable.
So what are these dangers that AI could pose for citizens?
Yeah, I mean, let's think of the usage of AI in our daily life, like helping us to decide whether to wear jeans or a different type of clothes. And this is a minimal risk application. Then on this AI act, they decided not to regulate, not to impose any burden on the application of these, the AI in such a minimal risk AI systems. That's fine. But now let's think, what if AI is applied to our healthcare, or finances, or even in aviation, then the risk there is significant. I mean, AI will help us to optimize the service we receive in those sectors, but the risk is high. Then the AI Act imposes some compliance obligations. And definitely there are other fields where the usage of artificial intelligence will have unacceptable risks. Let's think of the usage of AI in political campaigns, mm-hmm. or religion beliefs, or even in early stages education with child. Mm-hmm. Definitely the risk there is that high that this AI act banned the usage of this powerful technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have seen some deepfake videos of celebrities, journalists, and even politicians saying something that they did not say. So how does the EU intend to put some limits on this?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned some deepfake videos, but think of the poll in the UK for the Brexit, or political campaigns like Catalonia in Spain, or general elections for presidency at US. The power of artificial intelligence is that high that may lead a society to a bias in their beliefs or in their willingness. Using the huge amount of data we produce along the day. What we visit, what we eat, what we talk on our telephone conversations, what we move around in a city, then having a deep influence in our behaviors or in our thoughts, maybe cause such a high risk in our democratic system that is better to keep the AI outside this field. And that's what is included in this regulation coming from the European Commission.
Yeah, exactly. The European AI establishes a range of risk levels depending on the threat that they might pose. Can you tell us a little bit about this classification that they have done?
Yeah, I mean, the Act establishes 3+1 risk levels. The first one is the prohibited system. I mean, it's the level of risk is that high that the Act ban totally the usage of AI in such a system. It's the prohibited system. There is a second level, which is the high-risk systems or high-risk applications, as healthcare, finance, aviation, automotive, or any other sectors, that they are allowed to use AI, but they establish some requirements, like a conformity assessment to evidence their compliance before being placed, or they enforce a careful data governance or the human oversight. I mean, they don't allow autonomous systems. They require a human oversighting the whole system, or even they impose some measures on cybersecurity. And the third level of risk is minimal risk systems. In that case, you can use AI without any barring, any prevention. And I said 3+1 levels of risk classification, because these three ones, the prohibited, high risk, and minimal risk, is a general classification. But on top of that, they have the general purpose AI systems, what we call the foundation models. But these foundation models can be applied to any type of risk application. I mean, the foundation models like ChatGPT could be applied to the three level of risk. In that case, the Act, the AI Act, imposes the same compliance measures that for the high-risk systems.
Well, now, for example, you were talking about ChatGPT. We saw that in between the negotiations to develop this law, last-minute modifications had to be made regarding ChatGPT, which came into force when the negotiations were already taking place. Do you think that there are any important AI aspects that are missing from this Act?
I mean, this Act has almost 2 years period to be imposed in all the systems. And definitely we have to take care of the bias, the potential bias, gender bias, any bias that the foundation models may have, because you trained those models with data that are not balance, they are not fair, let's say, fair data, then we have to modify those foundation models, like the one behind GPT, to make sure that when they are used in Europe, there are not any unacceptable bias.
What you were saying about the bias, we have seen people talking about math washing, that is purposefully developing AI systems with an integrated and also concealed bias that can be discriminatory for certain groups of people. How do you think that we could address this?
Yeah, definitely. You need a human oversight. After releasing the first steps of the AI, you need humans oversighting, making sure that the outcomes from algorithms are aligned with the values within the European Union. But also, you have to make sure that data training algorithms represent the actual data set that is required for the training. And also, we have to enforce that algorithms that not emphasize some social misconducts. And that's will be done at least in the first deployments or first years of these foundation models by human oversight.
Mm-hmm. Although regulations regarding some aspects of the law will start to come into force in 6 months after its publication in the official journal, it will be fully applicable in 2026, that is 2 years from now. Now, technologies in general are developing very, very fast. And we already mentioned that, for example, ChatGPT had to be included last minute in the act. Do you think that the law will still be relevant in 2 years, or will it need to be updated?
I'm confident that the way our regulators in Brussels, in the European Union, address the potential risk of AI is sound, and it will be of a great help, and it will be fully applicable in a couple of years. Anyhow, I'm sure that the European Commission will keep an eye on this act, and if any amendment or any modification is required, they will work on it. The problem of regulating the uses of any technology, including the artificial intelligence, is you may delay innovation. You may have an additional burden that creates some difficulties on small companies trying to innovate. But this act includes also some measures to support innovation. And that's I believe, at least from my viewpoint, I think that's the right way to go. I mean, you define some boundaries, some risk that you may take care of, that not cause any harm to European citizens, but at the same time, you need to foster innovation. You have to support SMEs all over Europe to be creative and to solve actual social problems. And somehow, this act tries to be that balance between the two trends.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have spoken a lot about the general concept of the European law, but I would like to bring it down to earth for the general public. What differences are we, the citizens who use the internet, are going to see after this law comes into force?
I mean, general public hopefully will not see hard evidence of the application of the law. I mean, that's the objective of the law. But the general public will be protected from harmful or risky use of the technology. That's basically the main objective of regulation. Let's have a different example that the citizens are very, very used to. The cars or the automotive industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is some laws all over Europe, restricting the usage of cars and the risk when you drive, the not harming all the citizens. But definitely, you cannot develop any type of car or any type of way of driving. But by imposing common regulation across a single market of the 27 EU member states, you make sure that all this technical development does not harm our European values or our individuals within Europe.
This regulation seems to confirm that artificial intelligence is here to stay. We are already, in fact, coexisting with it in many ways, some which might even go unnoticed. So last, I wanted to ask you, what challenges do you think AI will need to face in the future?
Wow, that's a good, very good question. Definitely, artificial intelligence is changing the way we live, the way we relate to each other, the way that wealth is created. I mean, think that nowadays almost half of the global wealth is related to digital data, and then how we distribute the resources among individuals depends on the artificial intelligence. And challenges are many. We have many, many challenges as new technologies. Definitely one of the concerns is that the geopolitical balance we have today is changing. I mean, mm-hmm. some regions in the world are growing algorithms and technology and systems faster than other regions in the planet, and then the balance, the present status quo is changing. That is why it is critical that Europe step forward and invest in technology, in artificial intelligence, in microchips production, and we invest in research with more intensity we have been doing for the last decade. And that, to me, is probably one of the risks. If Europe is not leading the new waves on this technology, probably the values or the social scheme in other countries like China will be imposed in the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Javier Ramos, electric and engineering professor and rector of the Rey Juan Carlos University of Madrid, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for listening and having an eye on this important topic.
The that brings us to the end of today's broadcast. You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio with Amy Egan and Marilyn Quintana. Today we had help from sound technician Javier López and production help from Cristina Dorado.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in for future broadcasts.